Welcome to Rooster Teeth Reviews, where we fill in the gaps between aftershows with some of our favorite RT properties and news. It won't just be a rewind, because we're looking forward to the public release of Ruby and what the rest of the year has in store. It all starts right now on Rooster Teeth Reviews.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It is a new day for the Rooster Team as we bring you Rooster Teeth Reviews. We are the Rooster Team, and if this is your first time watching us, we're going to introduce ourselves, starting with my left.
Hi, guys. I'm Megan Salinas. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
Katie Cullen.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
And I am Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. We are the Rooster Team. Now, we are traditionally, we have one or two other members that like to flow in and out of here. We cover a lot of the Rooster Teeth content that comes through in after show format. But there is so much and so little of us that, you know what, it was decided that we're going to come to you a little bit more frequently and talk to you about some stuff that we usually can't through other parts of the year. And thus, Rooster Teeth Reviews was born. This is our first episode. We are going to be talking a lot about Ruby, which is coming out to the public this week. It has already debuted for first members. But before we get to all of that, we had a little bit of a flashback to Camp Campbell. We're going to talk about the Camp Halloween special.
Yes.
So the great thing about this episode is it didn't feel like a special. It just felt like an episode that they were like, you know what, let's hold off on this till Halloween. This was the Night of the Living Ill. initial thoughts, starting with Katie, what did you think of this episode?
I missed our tiny McElroy dead camper.
They've been bringing him back a lot.
I know.
It's like they like him or something.
I don't think they can ever bring him back.
Yeah. They do what they can.
I feel like they, again, they're such big fans of Griffin McElroy that they'll look for any excuse to bring Jasper back into the story. And I feel like it's becoming like a series arc.
I think it's going to be a through line because we did have that throwaway comment about, well, I'm going to be here until my earthly body finds peace or something
exactly.
Like that. And I'm like, where is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, sorry, I need you to elaborate on that right now.
So you're
let's
right
let's
now.
Go to that.
And the 90s throwback with the pogs. I think we were watching it together and we're like, I had that pog! That exact pog!
The
that
elf
was a
pog.
Moment.
What was it? Did any. So y'all had
one.
Pogs. Yeah, you ganging pog?
Yeah. And the flaming eight ball.
That classic.
The green Power Ranger pog.
White Power Ranger.
Oh! Whoa!
We got that Power Ranger game!
I had a slammer with my name on it.
Well, I had Mufasa.
Very sparkly unicorn, and
oh, okay.
Won them all.
Winner. Winner, winner, winner. Did anybody expect Space Kid to be the final survivor?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, about halfway through, I went, he's insulated. Mm.
Space Kid is obviously a boy, but, like, the final girl is typically somebody you don't expect, or the final survivor in horror movies is typically someone you expect. Look at the original Evil Dead. Perfect example.
Yes, let's look at it.
Horror movie format.
Can we do Evil Dead 2 instead?
It's way better,
Fewer trees.
Way better. Let's not go there.
No.
Let's not go there.
This is one of the few shows where I can bring that up, and it's at the level of the show.
But it is hilarious that Space Kid being the one left to save everyone, essentially, you have to bring in the Deus Ex Machina of a literal ghost having to save the day.
You're
because Space
smart,
Kid can't be relied upon.
He needed that mentor to kind of guide him through. Keep him on the right track.
Jasper is his Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
All right.
You need to go to the laboratory, not Labrador.
The Labrador.
So now, moving forward with what we're going to be getting one more episode of Camp Camp, another special. What are you thinking?
Christmas in July. Especially with the... Why did I think it was Christmas during Parents' Day?
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I feel like Christmas is a good bet, but honestly, it's probably a toss-up between Christmas or Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Because Thanksgiving is very much a family-oriented mm-hmm. holiday, and family has been a through line this season. So I could see either one.
Yeah, I agree. I think Thanksgiving would kind of follow where they've been going and fit them pretty well. They could do some very interesting things with a Thanksgiving.
Well, and we already know the quartermaster is real good at mashed potatoes.
That's all.
You were expecting that to go somewhere else.
Well, judging by what happened in that episode.
That little shining moment.
Yeah. I was expecting a shining moment to be in the hedge maze, but nope.
I can see an entire Thanksgiving meal of shaped mashed potatoes. It's all mashed potatoes, but it's shaped like a turkey, shaped like yam, shaped like a thing of cranberry sauce.
Well, at that point, someone just needs to keep piling it on top of a large pile of mashed potatoes.
This is important. This means something. But as much as I want more camp as soon as possible and all the time, and I know that we're going to be getting this before the end of the year, I would love it if this was like the through point before next season. If it was like next spring, we get an episode just to be like, oh, camp's coming in a couple months, but any and all camp, I'm all about. Let us know what you thought about the camp Halloween special down below or on Twitter. Make sure to use at ABTV Rooster Team to get in contact with all of us. Now, it being the Halloween spooky season, for some reason, they decided, Rooster Teeth decided to put out their spooky series, Day 5, in the middle of summer. Dear God! Katie, you haven't seen all of season 2, correct?
Yeah, it turns out that I've been sleep deprived for about 6 weeks, and trying to sit down and watch a series about terminal sleep deprivation while you're pretty screwed up yourself hits a little too close.
Sleep
to
and
home.
You'll die!
So sadly, that's kind of what it feels like some days. So sadly, I tried, it didn't work, so I read episode summaries as best I could, and I'm just gonna kind of chill for this portion of the conversation.
So for
watch
season
the live
two,
chat, eat some popcorn.
So for season two, delirium mounts, new threats arise, and the survivors of a fatal sleep epidemic must embark on a last-ditch attempt to reach that one place that might still save them—a place where it's rumored you can still sleep safely. And one of the things that, and we're gonna,
America.
We're gonna try to be as quick as we can in this recap while still like hitting a lot of the visceral moments. But it got real religious, real fast.
Did not take long.
No,
I mean. Yeah.
Did you expect the religious aspect to come through?
You know, it's one of those things where I didn't think necessarily they'd be going in that direction. But whenever you're talking about any sort of apocalypse scenario, there's always going to be a cult that pops up. And you throw on sleep deprivation and how desperate people are. I feel like I should have seen it coming. Like, I really should have. So it was a natural progression for the story.
Yeah. What did you think, Stace?
I haven't gotten through it all yet.
Oh, you haven't finished it all yet?
I keep waiting for the husband to finish season one so we can watch it together, and I'm just going to
binge it.
I'm
not the only one.
No, I haven't finished it. I haven't.
Okay. Girl, so maybe we don't reveal too
it's
many
okay,
things.
Girl. No, go.
But one of the things that was one of my major issues with the lobotomies. One of the,
I feel like that might have been the major issue. Given that reaction.
Well, no, here's the thing. Is back, a quick side tangent, back when Mortal Kombat was doing its Machinima series, there was one of my favorite episodes, even though it messed
me
up.
The
Raiden
one.
The run where Raiden lands in a mental hospital and says, "I'm the god of thunder and lightning." And they're like, "Sure you are, buddy." And they give him a lobotomy. That made me pass out.
That was my favorite episode.
Hearing
too.
The tink of the hammer and the crack and everything. Yeah, sorry, but that I literally I passed out, lost all color. Yeah, it sucked. So
what, that entire episode must have been like just awful for you.
So I fast forwarded a bit. And one of my major, I will say one of my major issues, and I sort of side-eye tweeted it a little bit while this series was still going. But it's Day 5 isn't the only perpetrator. You've got to be really selective with your previously on stuff. Because with this season, it was essentially, hey, this is going to happen. Hey, this character's coming back. Hey, remember this person?
Mm-hmm. If I'm binging a show, you don't need to see me the previously on. Yeah.
That especially, but even just, I would say, have some confidence that your audience is smart enough to remember things. Not be like, especially for a series that's, what, 6, 7, like a total of 14 episodes. Even though it's an hour each episode, there's not too many main characters. So if a main character does return when it's like, oh, will they, won't they? let it be a surprise.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of memorable characters in this series.
Especially.
And for the most part, people who watch this series are going to be Rooster Teeth fans to begin with. Mm. So we're going to remember faces, Shannon McCormick. Yeah. We're going to remember Lee Eddy. We're going to remember all of our Rooster Teeth
Joel
cameos.
Heyman.
Joel Heyman. Yeah, because we're like, it's our Rooster Teeth people. So you don't need to be like, remember these guys? Like, yes, I've remembered them for literal years.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will say that, like, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I do need the previously on because I didn't get a chance to rewatch season one before season two started. So, like, it's nice to have a little bit
of
reminders.
Season, that's one thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, if I'm binging season two because all the episodes are out, I don't necessarily need a play-by-play reminder of, like, hey, you remember this person? Yeah, I remember that person. Yeah, we haven't seen them since season one, but we were talking about them a lot, an awful lot in the last
episode.
Yeah,
that's another thing, is you don't necessarily have to be a, hey, you remember this person? But if you have, like, there were scenes where characters were referring to people from the first season, and you're like, oh, I remember that. That's all you need.
Yeah, exactly.
But they took the cast, they put them into many different situations that you wouldn't expect in an apocalypse show, especially in a sleep-deprived apocalypse show. Jake Busey plays Carl.
Oh,
he's
my God.
And, like, they if you've seen the trailer, you see the guy with the American flag bandana, and he's presented as the big bad of the series. And the swerve that they do with him and his entire battalion is amazing. And it's one of those things that goes, that's the type of thing that I'm looking forward to. That's the type of thing that I'm expecting.
That's what you're here for when you watch this show.
That's what you're there for, is those unexpected twists and turns, not the, hey,
I will say, though, that even though the previously on makes some things predictable, mm-hmm. this show still does an excellent job of keeping me on my toes.
Yeah.
Some stuff is made predictable by that, but, like, to still be able to pull off the number of shocking and horrifying things that they do, I think is a testament to how well the show is written.
It's still very violent. It's still very visceral, and highly, like, we have a lot of people that are watching right now. By the way, we do this live, so you can join us live. Make sure to check out ABTV Rooster Team for when we do go live on this. Or on iTunes, just look for Rooster Teeth Reviews. We're right there. You can get all of our stuff, including our after shows and this show. But
use the hashtag RTR if you want to talk about the show on Twitter. Checking that, too.
So it's still visceral, it's still violent, but a lot of people in chat are mentioning that they haven't watched day five yet. It is daunting, but even though I mentioned some of the stuff that makes me uncomfortable, it's still something that I watch.
It's definitely something you have to be in a certain headspace for.
Dear God.
Which is why
Testament
I was not
Katie.
Able to watch. Right. Like, I haven't slept well for 6 weeks. Oh, God.
But, man, if you can...
I tried.
If you can make it through, if you can, like, muster up, you know, the right mood to be in to watch this show, it is well worth it. The payoff is phenomenal. And it's one of the best shows I think on right now. And I just mean not online. I just mean on right now.
Because it takes the post-apocalypse and it adds a different twist to it. And the mystery of how this is happening. And if this place... Why this place is rumored to be where you can actually sleep. Why it's that thing. The new characters that we get introduced to. Gabby, Paula, Aiden, Carl, Bob. Bob is a wonderful character.
Bob.
But, yeah, it's...
You just gotta love someone named Bob.
Yeah, especially the character that he gets presented as. It's a wonderful series. A lot of twists and turns. Very unexpected moments at times, and as I was going through the season, I guess this is the most spoilery thing that I'll say, as I was going through the season, I was like, okay, they're going to up the ante, they're gonna kill a main character, who's it gonna be? And then the answering of that question, not necessarily the who is it gonna be, but are they gonna kill a main character, very surprising, and I'm gonna miss seeing their work.
I concur with that assessment. It's one of those things where, from a production standpoint, I'm like, it makes a lot of sense that they made the choice that they made. It makes a lot of sense. But it's still shocking anytime a show has the cojones to kind of pull that off. I'm like, whoo, man, show is not pulling any punches. That, and I will say there's a very similar character beat at one point in the season That is very similar to a turn that is taken in season one. That being said, I still didn't see it coming. Mm. It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, this is just like that storyline in season one. But I was still shocked by it. I was still surprised.
Yeah, I know.
I was like,
saying.
Oh man, they got me again. Yeah, good job, show.
Now that we're on day six and day seven, seeing the lengths that people go to keep themselves awake is horrifying and terrifying, and it makes you care about the characters even more for their safety. Day five, season one, and season two. If you haven't checked it out, if you're not a first member, it's a great thing to blow through while you're... Well, I say blow through. Reward yourself...
14 hours, man. That's not a blow through.
It's a great thing to, like, cause yourself pain, but it's fantastic.
Switch out between this and
Ruby Chibi.
You'll be fine. Okay.
Watch three or four episodes, and then go reward yourself with some sugar, because dear God.
Now, let's talk about something that I think a lot of people are excited about, and that's the new series, Genlock. This was announced at RTX Austin, and they gave a little bit of more information at NYCC. There was a teaser shown that probably won't be shown in public, but...
They also gave a good chunk at RTX London.
Oh, they did? Mm-hmm. Okay. That was
same
last
idea,
weekend.
Teaser that we're not going to get for, yeah.
So, there are a couple of that we actually did get a bit of a summary. On the losing side of a global culture war, an experimental science unit is pushed to identify a team of young pilots who can control a variety of prototype next-generation mecha, giant robotic weaponized bodies. The recruits will find, however, that their newfound abilities will come at no small cost. And one of my favorite things about... we're taking a look at some exploration art. We're taking a look at some exploration concept art. It's not necessarily the final designs, but we see a young woman with a seemingly large mech suit. And if we can go to the next one, something that I found really interesting is now we've got a couple of mech suits going up against a giant alien-esque entity, but they don't look like Gundam-sized mobile suits. They look like a little bit more of a...
More aliens.
Yeah, D.Va. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. D.Va's a good...
Something that only adds maybe one other person's height to you, which then would lend itself to a little bit more maneuverability and fast-paced action that we're used to when it comes to Rooster Teeth animation.
That makes a lot of sense.
And when asked a little bit more, Gray Haddock mentioned, we do want to go for a slightly more detailed look. The character designs we have a little more detail to them to be slightly more real world. Ruby's look is very clean, very abstract, very simple lines, and the kind of storytelling we want to do in Genlock is going to require a slightly more detailed approach to it. Thoughts, ideas, Genlock, coming 2018.
Give it to me, I need it now.
I'm really excited to see kind of a more fast-paced kind of take on the mech, like, where they can maneuver around and get places quick and do some interesting stunts, so.
I mean, the last two times I screamed this hard at mech series were, well, not necessarily series, were Pacific Rim and Voltron.
Okay.
So,
I can see that.
Well, I'm in for the giant robots. I need it in my life. Let's do this.
And I don't think these are going to be combiners.
No.
But though, if that's like the end of season one and they all turn into like one giant... anyway. What's everybody's sort of history with mecha? Who remembers their first? If there's any sort of a history with mecha.
Gundam Wing piecemeal on Cartoon Network because it came on during dinner time, so I still have no idea what the full plot of Gundam Wing was because I never saw it start to finish.
Oh, girl.
But I definitely stayed up late a few times to see the unedited version just to see how different it was.
Very different is the answer.
Gundam Wing was my first. G Gundam is probably my favorite Gundam because it has politics I can understand. And it's fun!
All right. Whoever wins this tournament rules the world for a year.
I'm in. I'm down. This is ridiculous. I love it.
Christmas.
Although, first experience was probably Power Rangers, which I was not allowed to watch as a kid.
I mean,
so
that...
I did anyway.
Does that count?
Does that count?
Yeah, Zords.
Yeah, I guess. But is that Mecha?
Yes.
They didn't.
I mean, that's like... That's
they never actually beat the monster until they got into their giant robots.
Yeah, isn't that more of a kaiju, like Godzilla thing? Gojira.
That's thing. They're fighting a giant alien in the concept. Yeah. Fair. I mean,
I feel like we can allow this on a technicality.
Good. Keep production
going.
We'll
allow you to have your childhood. Yes. Thank you. Keep I appreciate going. That.
Have that, I guess.
But do you have any mecha experiences?
I mean, if we're not counting Power Rangers, I think that I jumped straight in with Evangelion.
Oh
wow! All right.
Whoa! What age? What age?
It doesn't matter. That's yeah. starting. On hard mode.
Yeah.
No, seriously though, what age?
Oh, I think it was like freshman year of high school. It wasn't like yeah. super.
It does
Bless
not
you.
Matter.
I hit that one senior year and it was still rough.
I didn't watch the end of Evangelion until sophomore year of college and I was just like, it's still horrifying.
I watched that senior year of high school and then we had sausage pizza for dinner that night and I almost couldn't.
But do you have a favorite mech series? Ava was the starting point. What's your favorite?
I mean, Gurren Lagann, Kiznaiver.
Currently, yeah, Kiznaiver working Volt, through. I mean, Voltron. Yeah.
Currently,
I think
the new Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
Standing by Life mentioned that Kiznaiver was reportedly one of the inspirations for the show, and I know that they liked it a lot. They talked about it a lot on their anime
that
show.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I'm with you guys. First is. Yeah, if we're counting it, first was probably Power Rangers, but first real mecha show where it's just like about the mechs was Gundam Wing and
Zoids.
Zoids.
When the heck did Zoids come out?
Right after around Gundam the same
Wing.
Time.
After Gundam Wing.
Yeah, right around the same time, but Gundam Wing came before it.
Liger Zero.
Oh, so good.
Toonami.
Yeah.
I feel like Toonami influenced a lot of our anime experiences.
Escaflowne.
That's where you started.
There's a lot, but Gundam Wing, to me...
Gundam Wing's what I hold up as my number one.
Myself and four of my friends, we were all the Gundam pilots.
Aww.
And I was duo.
Yes!
Because Death Side is
one.
The best. Yeah, I saw, like, super, like, Death Side Hell Custom in a shop the other day, and I was like...
You just kind of stand there and go, oh.
$200 for something that's going to be this big and I have to paint it.
My brother has an Epion, or he had an Epion back in the day, and it was like the coolest thing.
Yeah, the flipping whip. Anyway, it's still... I have never seen that Gundam before. Must be sex. It's one of my favorite. That is from
that on?
Endless Waltz. It's Endless Waltz. It's one of my favorite lines ever because it got so sexy. So sexy.
I feel like we need to do a let's watch of this now because it's been forever and since I've seen Gundam Wing.
That's a
we
long
all have,
series.
I know we don't have to do it all at once.
Or at least
how about
Endless
just
Waltz.
The movie? Just the movie.
I got it on DVD. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's the best. It's so good.
Side episode, y'all. Bonus content.
So 2018, we're getting Genlock. We're probably going to get a slow feed of it. And now that Ruby is coming out, it's going to be something of, don't worry. Just keep an eye on this and we'll show you Genlock stuff whenever we want to.
I will bet that we will get a full-on Genlock trailer at the end of the season finale of Ruby and that it will be part of our summer of animation for 2018.
Those animators would be now to have 3 to 4 shows depending on fading out, fading in. When
no one ever said Rooster Teeth was sane.
Fair, they're crazy. what are you looking forward to for Genlock? One of my favorite things about it is they reached out to a member of the Ruby fan art community named Bak Do, who goes by Dishwasher 1910, who did some awesome art of Ruby with a Diva Mech. That's really super cool, and they worked with this artist and now have brought them on to the team, and it continues to show how connected to the fans that the Rooster Teeth is. Hi, fam. Anyway.
He's also predicted several Ruby character deaths with terrifying
with
accuracy.
He the guy that did the Necklevy art? Ugh,
oh,
crazy.
My gosh. The extremely... I'm glad that prediction did not come to pass.
But the Penny one was like... Ooh.
Yeah. Now, before we get to our whole slate of Ruby stuff that we're going to be talking about, I just want to mention iTunes real quick. So, we talked about it at the last episode of the Camp Show, but in case you missed that, or in case you're joining us for the first time, hello, why don't you head over to iTunes, look up Rooster Teeth Reviews, you will find our page. If you are a previous fan coming over from some other shows, if you're a Red versus Blue fan who didn't watch anything else, or if you're a Camp fan who didn't watch anything else, Crunch Time didn't watch anything else, all of our shows are now going to live on this iTunes channel. So if you go to Rooster Teeth Reviews, subscribe, leave us some new comments. So now people will know that it's not just a Ruby thing, but that it's all aspects of Rooster Teeth. So leave us some new comments. Change your username. It's just that easy. Leave us some fresh comments just so that people who are looking for some sweet Rooster Teeth reviews know exactly where to find us. Thank you so much. And also, after the show's done, subscribe to the AfterBuzz animation channel, because the other ladies here, they do Transformers, Robots in Disguise, and Voltron. And there's also a South Park show. Rebels. Star Wars Rebels is starting up. There's BoJack Horseman. If you like animation in any way, shape, or form, subscribe. You won't be disappointed. You'll get a variety of different hosts doing stuff. But mostly collections of the people here at this table. But that's also where the Ruby show is going to live, right here on this channel and also on iTunes at that same place. So make sure to head over there. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. Now let's talk about some video games. Ladies and gentlemen, it was announced at RTX 2017 that Arc System Works is going to be adding a new member of the Ruby roster to the game. And I don't know if anybody was expecting this, everybody, but Weisschnee is joining the cast of BlayBlue, that is actually how you pronounce it, I found out, Cross Tag Battle. And we see a lot of glyphs, we see a lot of speed, and it looks like she controls exactly like you would expect her to. Reactions.
I'm so excited. Again, she looks like she fits seamlessly into this exact type of game. And I was super jazzed when they announced Ruby. And Weiss is a perfect follow-up to that announcement. So I'm really excited.
Agreed. Yeah, Weiss looks like a lot of fun. And as like my personal gaming style, she's kind of in line with the kind of way I would play a fighting game like
Distance,
this.
Distance, so, dash in, dash out?
Yes. So that's going to be a good one for me.
I'm just marking time until we have the full Team Ruby on here.
But that's the thing.
Because let's be real, it's going to happen.
In one of the wide shots where they show all of the various and intellectual properties that are involved in this cross-tag battle, there's footage of Yang Short. There's footage of Blake Short. So the Team Ruby is an inevitability. So I wanted to ask everybody, once we get that full team, who's next?
Who Penny.
And I will agree with you, because Arc System Works already has characters like Penny. So she would fit in seamlessly. That is a wonderful pick.
I was going to assume Pyrrha, actually, another character who is gone. And that was going to be my guess, just because, emotionally speaking, she's the character that all of the characters right now within the show miss the most, I think. Obviously, Ruby has a connection to Penny, but like the losing her is like the biggest emotional impact for all those characters at the moment. So that's just my guess.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Stace?
I mean, I think any of the Team Juniper would be good. I think Ren would be a really interesting addition because of his fighting style. It would be kind of an add-on to what they already have with the core Ruby team.
Mm. I was expecting you to round out the dead people and go with Torchwick.
I was going to say Torchwick.
We got to call all the dead people.
Because Matt...
All so, the redheads, all the gingers.
Just
oh
because
my god,
of,
all the dead redheads.
Just because of fighting game rules is... You have your main cast, and you have to have a villain. And if this is everybody is in their season 1 through 3 costumes, so it's supposed to take place. It seems like it takes place in that time period. Torchwick seems like a logical next step, but I want Nora as a power comedy character that fires like kisses hearts at people, and her finish resembling how they took out the giant scorpion at the end of season 1, where she goes up to the screen and then powers down and beats the crap out of you.
Is that her taunt? Just boop.
But and it does damage.
So good.
And it does damage. Yeah. Like Luigi's kick in Smash Bros.
What the fuck?
Thank you, Steve. I told him to go ham on all of the camp clips that we have. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on.
Apropos of nothing.
I was going to ask at some point what our language level was going to be at, because I could have used some expletives during our day 5 sort of review recap.
To recap day 5, fuck!
There it is.
Level of the show.
Malachroma in chat says Red Deads.
See, I was thinking deadheads, but that's something else entirely.
Yeah. Dead redheads.
Well, deadheads are...
Grateful Dead fans.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, my brain went Jerry Garcia, which is really, Grateful Dead.
What was really bad was that, like, right at the end of season 3, when all of those redheads died, was right around the same time I dyed my hair red. And I went, guys, I've made a terrible mistake. This is like, a horrible idea.
Mr. Teeth is after you now.
cut it all off.
I'm just like, it's okay.
Right. We got aboard.
And blonde.
What happened?
Speaking of Penny, speaking of Ruby, speaking of all of the things that nobody was not expecting, we're getting a Ruby board game. Ruby Combat Evolved recently launched their Kickstarter. There are 11 days left, and it is currently at about $450,000, way overshooting its budget, which is great, which means you get extra pieces, higher quality cards, higher quality pieces. And at $500,000, which is when I will definitely donate, is when you get Penny.
Aww.
It's called Combat Ready. You can't not have Penny in there.
You can't. Yeah, she has to be there. She absolutely has to be there.
So if it's like a couple of thousand, it's $50,000. That's a lot of money. But there's 11 days left. Hopefully within the last 48 hours will be the final push towards that big goal. And if you get past $550,000, they don't have announced stretch goals for that. So who knows where they'll go from there. But Ruby Combat Ready is an exciting cooperative game for 2 to 4 players, and it captures the flavor and excitement of the series with fast-paced battles where all players are actively involved and engaged at the same time. Players can play as one of the 4 or 5 main heroines in the series: Ruby, Weiss, Blake, or Yang, or Penny. Each player has their own separate deck of cards representing their attacks, actions, and moves. Each character plays a little differently, using their own unique tactics and strategies. Before each game, players choose a scenario to play from the scenario book. Each scenario will have them fighting one or more battles. Battles are against a particular villain with a particular set of rules and may include one or more objectives. Now, there are varying levels of board game here at the table. How do you think this fares as a cooperative game versus like a battle royale versus game?
Having not actually gotten my hands on it, I couldn't say, because I'm the type of person where that board game sounds interesting. Let's play it once or twice and see how it actually handles.
Yeah.
Because I've had a few that are like, this sounds interesting. This is terrible. And a few that are like, what am I doing? Oh my God, this is the best.
But going from a D&D perspective, because I know you play, this you get pre-rolled characters, and it's everybody fighting against one particular villain, and everybody's on the same page. How that feels versus having to go against your friends at the table, and possibly Mario Party Syndrome.
It'll depend on how they balance it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of cooperative gameplay. Like, I'm a terrible loser. So things where...
if I can blame other people, I feel great.
No, I'm a terrible loser. So, like, if we're all in this together, then, like, I do a lot better. Of like, oh, well, we gave it our best shot, as opposed to all of my friends are trying to, like, Settlers of Catan. Like,
okay.
Oh my gosh. Like, again, that ruins friendships.
I made your wolf.
We are a Castle Panic household, not a Settlers of Catan household.
No. But have y'all donated? Are you going to donate? Are you going to wait to see how it turns out?
Depends on what my budget says this month.
Yeah, you got 10 days, so.
Yeah,
there's going to be some stuff that is exclusive to backers, and some stuff where it will improve the quality of the game once it launches, but if you want to get in on some extra packs, some higher quality stuff, then you're going to have to donate.
I'm waiting for a few checks from work to clear.
Oh,
as soon as that comes through and I have money in my pocket, then yes, I will definitely donate.
Yep, I'm ready to throw money at this game.
So, I mean, we're constantly telling the only one that's like, hell yes, and the rest of us are like, when's my next paycheck?
Well, that's what I'm waiting on.
When we're constantly saying, shut up and take my money, Rooster Teeth. So you got to put your money where your mouth is.
Yep.
I've been a first member for literal years.
They definitely call their fans bluff. So there is that.
They're like, really? Here you go.
Okay.
All right, now before we get into talking about the future of Ruby, let's talk a little bit about this past season of Ruby Chibi.
Yay!
Now, for this, it was a lot. We got to see a lot of stuff at RTX in particular and some stuff beforehand, but what were some of your favorite shorts?
The dog whistle.
I lost my
mind at that. Like, I don't know why that's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time, but it is. The dog whistle was one of my favorites.
It's classic.
It is.
It's just hilarious.
I'm a sucker for anything that, you know, resembles Scooby-Doo, so the Mystery Bunch.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Wonderful.
What are you doing? Just eat dog food until we're on their level.
Wonderful.
I think they have
better mustaches than we do.
Oh, boy. Oh, that was the different one. That was the when they did the CSI with Pierre and Nora. That was great. That was also great. I like the short ones. The computer virus with Penny, where all those like, we don't know what's going on. We've never seen something like this. Penny sneezes, everything goes crazy.
I have a lot of favorites this season. There were a lot of really good vignettes. It's really hard to pick. But honestly, much like you're a sucker for Scooby-Doo stuff, I am a sucker for
murder. There's a lot of murder in this season of TV, surprisingly.
I am a sucker for villain water cooler talk. That was so good. I love looking at the daily lives of like henchmen or like bureaucracy within an evil organization. I am a sucker for those sorts of things. And so seeing the Grimm at a water cooler pouring one out for Larry.
Yeah.
And that Geist that nobody likes. Hi.
Yeah. Hi, another Floyd.
Big part of the evil plot.
The spook opportunity. And I'm sure it's great for Carrie to get an opportunity to, like, I can just be a sot. I could be a dandy. I could be a dandy Geist for a couple of minutes. I'm all about
Why
it.
Not?
Yeah. I loved Man Up with Pork. Part's already silly, but then giving him an opportunity to have a Bear Grylls-esque reality show, I'm all about it.
Standing by life in chat, like Ruby's birthday being on Halloween. The trash costume.
Gosh.
Viva Mort Balkan, like the parent-teacher conference.
Oh, yes.
I love taking the dog to the vet. I have a cat who doesn't like being picked up or held and is smarter than she has any right to be. So trying to ambush her and get her in the carrier is just, it's an ordeal.
Yeah.
Exactly. So getting the cat to the vet, like, I related to that so much.
Did anybody find it weird, the increasing amount of creepy Nora misery
I thought it was a weird turn, but I loved
it. It was the first time I was like, oh, that's silly. And then they did it for the Halloween episode. I was like, wait a minute.
I knew. Nora,
what are you doing to Nora?
Calm down, Nora. I knew my love would cure him.
Oh, God. Ding, ding. Twitch. I can only imagine Sam having fun in that recording booth.
God, she killed sure it. Sam just yes, had a blast did. And a half.
Mm-hmm. The bad thing about, or the good thing about Ruby Chibi ending is that we get Ruby proper, and then it's only a short couple, like 4 or 5 months until Ruby Chibi returns, but there's going to be so much that Rooster Teeth is throwing at us. So by the time Ruby Chibi comes back, it'll be like, oh, that's right. There's this thing that I love.
I mean, if 2017 itself doesn't kill us, Volume 5 of Ruby will.
That sounds about
right. It'll do the job.
That sounds about right.
It'll finish what's left of my heart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, moving on to Ruby 5 proper. This past week, there is a screening all across the country, in the world, I think, where Lucky fans had an opportunity to watch Episode 1 before anybody else in the movie theater. And y'all got a chance to go see it with the fans, and I kind of want to play this first, and then we'll talk about the screening. So make sure that the volume is up on this one, because it hasn't been up on all of the other videos. And let's take a look at the Rooster Team watching Ruby Volume 5, Episode 1.
And it should be spoiler-free if you're not sponsored.
We are here at the Fathom screening for Ruby Volume 5's premiere. Oh my gosh.
We just finished it. It was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
So, what do you guys think of the very beginning of Volume 5?
Can we have the rest of it now?
Oh my god.
I need it in my life.
Yeah, you can't really get a show like that on television. It's so great to experience on the big screen, especially with a bunch of fans. That's top notch.
The comedy was on point.
And what are you looking forward to in this coming season?
I'm hoping we get more in development on the Silver Eyes, because we've talked about the Silver Eyes for so long now. It's like, what does it all mean? Who else has Silver Eyes? I want Silver Eyes.
But I really, really want to see Yang just punch her mother really fast.
I'm hyped to see, what's it called? Oscar and Crow basically turn into Rick and Morty.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one with that. Yep, that's a Rick moment right at the end there.
I'm a crow.
Do you guys want to say anything to Rooster Teeth for putting on this great show and for working really hard to bring us Volume 5? Anything you guys want to say?
Thank you so much for not selling out.
Thank you for not selling out.
cannot wait for the next
whatever way for the next episode.
Thank you for all your work. I'm really looking forward to season 5. Well, more season 5 over here.
Thank you, Fathom and Rooster Teeth, for putting this on.
Thank you, guys.
Seeing this on the big screen, seeing the last 3 episodes of season 4, seeing the Knucklevy, having the sound system, hearing those hoofbeats coming from
and those
behind you.
Oh
my
god. So good on the small screen.
The animation looks better than ever, which is saying a lot for Ruby. You guys work so hard. So thank you so much to Rooster Teeth, and thank you again to Fathom Events for putting on this fantastic event. You guys have any thoughts before our first show of the season?
Oh my god, I'm just so excited for all of this. I'm in. I can't wait to talk about what we just saw.
Shut up and take my money.
Shut up and take my money. Shut up and take my first member subscription. Which you've been taking for months and months.
Just keep throwing it at you.
It's good.
All right, guys. Be sure to... Well, this will be in the episode. So we'll see you guys for the first episode.
Yeah, I was in the middle of being like, be sure to tune in at this time, and then I'm like, wait, that's...
During our outro.
Recorded on my phone.
So that wonderfully cut down. But in terms of some stuff that may have gotten cut or anything that else that you wanted to mention from the screening and being with... Because we went for the season 3 screening, which was crazy and fun and nuts. But anything else you wanted to add onto this?
I mean, we're keeping it spoiler-free because it hasn't dropped for YouTube, correct? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dropped for Rooster Teeth members, but not for YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's always just so much fun seeing Ruby, or really any Rooster Teeth property, in a theater filled with fans. Mm-hmm. We get it every time we get to go down to RTX. We get it whenever they do a screening like that. And for them to do the premiere of this episode, or the premiere episode of this season, it was really exciting. I love being in a theater with cosplayers and just being in a theater full of people who will clap and cheer at stuff that make me want to clap and cheer. So, yeah, it was a great time.
I enjoyed seeing, because we saw the last 3 episodes of Volume 4 as well, and we'd see the episode, and then we'd see a behind-the-scenes video with Miles and Carrie and Gray talking about it, talking about the story and the animation and what all went into it, and I really appreciated being able to see that. And also, yeah, no, seriously, Jim and Randall were terrifying on the big screen.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, just hearing the hooves come from behind was like, I know I'm in a theater, and I'm still sitting here going, where's the nearest exit?
Next step is
I'm a die.
Next step is a 40X theater with breath effects and vibrations. And
smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision.
Yes.
What does Nick Levy smell like?
Hell. Fire and brimstone.
Death.
Yeah. And probably rotting flesh.
Skin. I was really sad that I had to miss this. But Thursday night's one of the only nights that I work. So that ended up being that. And I hope something that I will add, because I was talking to a friend over the weekend talking about the screening, was that this is the closest thing to RTX that you're going to get. And if you're looking for that next step in a fandom, if you go to the screening, you're like, oh, that was great, I want more like that, go to RTX. It is on 3 continents now, 3 different parts of the year. It's time. Take the plunge. They're adding more and more tickets every year. So do the right thing.
Yes.
Go to RTX. And that way you'll get an even bigger crowd talking about even bigger things. Like one of the things that we saw at RTX this past year. Let's start previewing Ruby Season 5. We're going to talk about... First we're going to talk about the shorts. The first short that we got was over the summer, which was Weiss.
Yes.
And overall, but before we get too far into all of them, I love that all 4 of these shorts allowed us to see the girls in their original designs in the new animation engine.
Yeah, they were all wonderful flashback shorts, and I appreciated the hell out of that.
Yes.
So let's start with Weiss. This was a big battle with already controlled grim.
We all figured out pretty quickly that those are summons because we've seen them before.
Yeah.
And I loved the look.
Oh,
like, just
yeah.
the white glow around each of them was just stunning.
Mm-hmm. And watching her fighting style and seeing how much she'd evolved from then till now, because then it was still very artistic, a lot of poses, a lot of flourishes, and now it's a lot more down and dirty.
It was like combat ballet. Like,
Ballet.
I was trying to say the word ballerina, and I stopped halfway through.
You've had a day. It's fine.
But
it's
yeah, fine. We've gone from training to, I've actually had to fight these things and keep them from murdering me. Oh, God.
Yeah, you can't stop for your pretty poses when you've got the Grim immediately lunging back
but
in.
But she's still extremely graceful,
absolutely.
Too.
And one of the main takeaways is Winter coming through with that she has to become self-reliant. And I think ultimately my favorite thing of this is the fact that it ends with Mirror Mirror. And all of the main character moments that we get, that we've gotten with Weiss, have all involved Mirror Mirror. And that song has evolved much like she has evolved. And I was really sad that it took a couple of weeks for that short to drop. While we were sitting, I'm like, it was good in this
talk about it.
I think my favorite, as beautiful as it is, I think my favorite thing about it is the little detail of she doesn't have the scar over her.
Yeah.
Her
eye.
She doesn't have the scar, so you know it takes place before the original character short, that where we were initially introduced to her. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a small but awesome thing.
It's a prequel to a prequel.
Yeah.
Before she even fights the knight.
Exactly.
We're compounding prequels here.
Yeah.
We'll just keep going back.
At some point, there's going to be some big master timeline that someone puts together. Like the Doctor Who ones where it loops back 85 times.
Oh, gosh.
The Ruby Historia.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the Blake short. Now, this one was a little bit more complex, and this was... again, a flashback of Ilya and Blake talking about why they joined the White Fang and why Ilya doesn't take advantage of passing off as a human. And this was really sad because it's something that I think on various levels we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Of giving up a part of yourself just to be accepted when... Taking advantage of who you are and finally coming into yourself, that's what makes you a real person.
Yeah. I love, again, it's one of those things where she's an antagonist, but that doesn't necessarily mean she's evil. And I feel like just based on this one short, we know how complex and interesting of a character she is. A little bit of a tangent. I actually ran into Sharmi Lee, who does the voice of this character, at an event, like, at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And I told her, congratulations on Ruby. And she's like, she was saying that, like, oh, just you wait. She's a tragic backstory. It's going to be amazing. And sure enough.
Here we are.
I didn't think we were going to get it in this short. But yeah, here it is. And it is heart-wrenching. Oh my God.
Did we ever hear if her family survived that cave-in, or was it just the people I was near were making fun of it?
She did not specify.
Yeah.
I think it's implied that they didn't.
And now the White Fang is her only family?
Right.
Probably.
Any other highlights from this one?
I think they set her up to be just a fascinating story going forward, and I'm glad we were able to actually get so much backstory and solid content for a short. Like, I like that they put that much effort in, or that much consideration into it.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that Ilya can still get to Blake that badly.
I think what I really appreciated too is that they set her up as this very tragic character, and one of the final things that's said in the short is, don't be, I broke their teeth. It's one of those things where you feel so bad for her, but her reaction is so violent. You understand it, but you're still like, oh.
She's willing to go the extra mile to make sure that she gets what she feels is necessary.
Yeah.
And ultimately...
On one hand, it's like, good for you. And on the other hand, it's like,
ooh.
So this informs sort of the revelation scene that we got back in season 4, which is great. I love when they do that out of order backstory stuff, which will then inform it in the past.
Back to mystery Ruby timeline.
Yeah, sorry, it's okay. Mystery time.
Okay, we need to make a Ruby soundboard now.
Yeah, no,
so we can have like
that's the one that I built. Next time it'll be different.
Nikki,
but ultimately, it ends with Ilya letting Blake go. So if that's not foreshadowing, I don't know what is. And then it also dropped on the same day as the episode dropped on the Rooster Teeth website, the Yang short, which is also a flashback of her fighting an Ursa Major, and we got a little bit more of the sister dynamic. A little bit more than what we got in the chibi short, but whatever.
I think the best part of this was watching it with you and getting the line of, oh, well, I'll always be there to protect you, and Megan just goes, liar. Called a redhead on that. Beautiful.
Well, no, even what if it's, I'm always going to be there with my right arm to protect
I'm
you.
I'm going
to
be your right-hand man.
Right arm be damned.
Well, it'll just, like, I'll always be there for you. Just your reaction was...
Lies and slander is what I said.
It was beautiful.
Oh, man.
Like,
I will say that, in my opinion, this is the weakest of the shorts.
Yes.
And not necessarily that it's bad. It was very straightforward. Mm. It was just sparring. It was great character bits for Ruby and Yang, but it didn't really add much depth to their relationship. Mm-hmm. And I thought parts of the fight with the Grimm were a little bit awkward, particularly the part where Yang is bitten by the Grimm and shaken around. That looked a little weird to me personally. But that being said, it is a good setup for where we left her at the end of last season. Again, not with us not knowing which direction she took, and her saying, I'm always going to be there for you, you know, to really emphasize the importance of that choice when she gets to the crossroads.
Yeah. But you're right in that it doesn't really show anything new about either of them, whereas the Weiss and Blake shorts really did.
Well, I think thanks to Ruby Chibi, we got a little bit more character stuff. Like, they, as I previously mentioned, they had a sisterly episode that was adorable and great and did, I would say, a little bit more to build that relationship than this one did, because that seemed more daily life, whereas this one was,
crisis situation.
One more time. Yeah, so I understand where it was coming from, but if you knew that this was in the pipeline, then why do the chibi short? And that was more of a focus on Winner and Weiss's relationship, but regardless, it was one of those things where you already gave us a taste and it was better.
Which, by the way, I love Winter being in Ruby Chibi. I know we're past it already, it's a wonderful addition.
Well, really quickly, if we're going back to Ruby Chibi, the fan in the video mentioned that hoping for an Oscar and Crow Rick and Morty type of thing. That's a perfect thing for Chibi.
It really is.
Love a love a dub dub.
And then Oscar being a new character in Chibi and not fitting in timeline wise because Oscar
is there. I don't know, Crow.
It all gets very confusing.
I don't know, Crow.
Who's the genius here? Not you!
As the last sort of thing before we go, I just want to remind everybody that next week starts our Ruby After Show. We are going to be on weekly, talking one episode at a time, and it's going to be wild, it's going to be crazy. We're going to be talking about the debut next week at the same time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on this channel, on this iTunes station. But it was tweeted out today by A1 Mr. Kerry Shawcross that the writing for Volume 5 has been completed. Bottle of writers, tears, and all. So,
my LA Gear light-up shoes.
Hi, Jasper.
Okay, sure.
Let's Jasper.
To be fair, I told Steve to go ham, and that's fine. And he just,
I think at this point Ruby, we can say thank you, Farley, because that's where the writer's tears come from.
So Ruby, volume 5, sorry, Griffin McElroy.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping them in whiskey so they can keep us in tears.
Carrie lights up our night? Sure, let's do that. But congratulations to the entire crew, the crewby, down at Rooster Teeth, between the new work of having to do the behind-the-scenes series after every episode, as well as the new show Ruby Rewind, which, shout out. But we're really happy for all of the work that you're putting into this show and this universe that everybody is such a huge fan of, and we're happy to be a part of it as fans and as reporters covering all of the ins and outs of it. So as we sign off, what's something you're looking forward to the most from Ruby Volume 5, starting with Katie?
Oh, start with Megan. I need a minute.
Starting with Megan.
I'm going to go with Rick and Morty. I can't wait for more of the Crow-Oscar dynamic.
Mm-hmm. One thing, we kind of have been leaning towards a little more levity coming up in this new season. We had a very, very heavy season 4. And so to return a little bit to the point where they can be a little lighter and have a couple of moments of not comedy necessarily, but like relief and a little bit of joy.
And they did release the intro on YouTube. Awesome, by the way. Yes. But in it, Nora's like the stereotypical like hanging upside down kooky crazy character that we see in various anime intros. So yeah, I can see that and I hope for that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they said in one of the behind the scenes thing that volume 4 was about loss and dealing with loss, and volume 5 is going to be about getting back, coming back from that.
Back to one, everybody. Katie, have you thought of something yet?
Yes, I want to see Raven's murder clan.
Yeah.
I am intrigued by all of this.
Because it's a murder of crows?
Hey!
Is that what you were going for?
No, but thank you for taking it.
Oh, God dang it! I thought you were just going to stop it at murder, and I was like, wow, earlier we were joking about you being all into murder, but here we are.
Well, I mean, I'm the Georgia, she's the Karen, so.
It better not murder Crow.
They tried your role that there. Last season, I mean.
Sure. Yeah, he's so unlucky he can't die. That's how I can't do anything right. I want to see more from the Evil League of Evil. I want to see more from Hazel, Dr. Watts. I want to see more from them, especially Hazel. Presumably, Hazel is still following Oscar. And from the trailer that they released, where is he? And from the intro, he's around. So where the hell is Hazel?
I'm with you, though. More Watts because more Chris Sabat. Yes.
Yeah.
more
Sabat. Oh, I'm reminded of Yuri Anais. Oh.
Time to rewatch.
Dad Butto. Anyway.
And that's the takeaway.
Anytime you bring up Chris Sabat, it's not going to be Vegeta. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be... That butt.
And that's the way the news goes.
Yeah. As we leave, let the folks know where they can find you on social media, what you're up to, and let's now, Katie, can we start with you?
Yes.
No, come back to me.
No, start with Stacey. No. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you want to see Megan and I reacting to these Ruby episodes and pretty much every Rooster Teeth show that we watch, those videos live there. Most of my shows have come back at this point. So Arrow's back. Voltron is back. That's Monday night. Z Nation and Star Wars Rebels. That's the other one. 5 shows, y'all.
Stacey.
It's a bit late. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles. I am also doing, when I'm not here, a weekly gaming show with Mr. Mark Donica called Inventory Full. We air Mondays at 6, and we are also all over Twitch doing streaming throughout the week, so check us out there where you can see me play games badly.
Best pitch ever.
But enjoying them. So
enjoyably bad.
You don't want to carry me in Overwatch so I can make you look good.
Let's play the Overwatch.
I'll pocket heal. It's fine.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I write articles for the Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out season 2 of the radio recreation of The Shadow, where I do the voice of Margot Lane. I totally flubbed
it. It's a long day. You're fine.
One of those
still professional. Still uber professional. That's Megan Salinas. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. As Stacey mentioned, Inventory Full. I do a lot of the wrestling stuff here at AfterBuzz as well. And the internet's a great place. Explore. Have a nice time. Don't be a bad person. Leave comments down below. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow the group at ABTV Rooster Team. Make sure to stay tuned because we got a big, thick, juicy episode and season of Ruby coming up for this next season. And for more of these general shows, and if you want more of them throughout even the season of Ruby, let us know by commenting down below, telling AfterBuzz TV, and using us at ABTV Rooster Team. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you in Haven.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I'm combat ready.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.